Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
And Murray.
Gasper.
And Murray.
Gasper.
And Murray.
Gasper.
All right, welcome in Gasper and Murray. No, Murray is making his way back from Arizona. So you have me, Tim McCone. Chris Gasper is here. Chris, what's going on?
McCone, what's up?
Let me ask this question. No Super Bowl for you this year. Is this few and far between, right? Normally you're there. Do you miss it at all?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I used to do. I went last year, so I had no complaints for me. But
yeah.
I don't think I'm going to be going every year now. And when I was at Channel 5, I certainly didn't go when the Patriots weren't in it. And obviously, they haven't been since Brady left. Newsflash. So, it's not that unusual.
You've done an Arizona one before, though, correct?
I've done two Arizona Super Bowls because the Patriots have played in two.
Now, the weird, I remember doing a Gasper and Murray with you during like the Super Bowl week. Maybe it was even last year.
Yeah.
You told me Indianapolis was sneaky one of your favorite.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was awesome. The weather ended up being great, and it was great because Indy's an underrated town. It's just so condensed.
Yeah.
It was so easy to get to everything. You could walk to all the parties and everything. The media availabilities, you could walk through the skywalks from the media hotel to the hotels where the teams were. It was great. That was one of the – they should bring it back there. That was one of the best ones of all. It was the complete antithesis of Minnesota, which was awful, and San Francisco.
I was going to say, San Francisco's spread out, right? Wasn't that one a disaster?
Yeah, it was the one team. Denver was in Santa Clara.
Yeah.
I was covering the Panthers, who happened to be, no lie, were at a hotel in San Jose. It was, like, unbelievable. I remember, like, the media bus broke down, the media shuttle.
Perfect.
From the downtown, you know – San Francisco Convention Center, whatever, the Moscatel Center, whatever it's called. And the shuttle broke down. And I was there like 2 hours before Carolina's media stuff started. And I asked the woman, and she's like, oh, the shuttle's not going to be fixed in time. I'm like, all right, well, I'll just call an Uber. She's like, well, I don't know. You probably won't make it to San Jose in time. And I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, but it's like an hour and 45 minutes from now.
She's like, yeah, no shot.
Like, yeah, you got no shot. Like, I mean, I just made it in time for the start of it. It was in an Uber for like an hour and 45 minutes. That was the worst Super Bowl ever.
All right. Well, you know what? Normally the Super Bowl, or at least it used to be kind of an annual event for Patriots fans. Got pretty comfortable doing that, especially if you're my age. And it was pretty much an every other year type event. That's certainly not the case anymore. But the Patriots this offseason making the first step in what they thought, or what they hope is going to be a path back towards another Super Bowl appearance. And that was obviously the hire of Bill O'Brien. Yesterday, Robert Kraft, meeting with some of the media, had this quote about his new offensive coordinator. He says, quote, "I think he was an excellent choice, and he has a learning curve experience of our system. He knows Mac Jones. He knows how to build a great offense, and I'm excited to see what happens next year." So you see that quote from Robert Kraft there. What were your initial thoughts on the Patriots owner weighing in on this most recent hire?
Yeah, my initial thought was that this was the Kraft's choice, not Bill's choice. You know, and they can talk about it being collaborative and all this other stuff, but this was the guy that the Krafts wanted to legitimize and be able to overhaul the offensive system because they're big believers in Matt Jones, which is something that Robert Kraft said when he went on Fox Business yesterday. It was on Anil Cavuto, Coast to Coast, and he mentioned that he was a big believer in Mac Jones. And I think that's – I mean – compare and contrast what Kraft said about Mac Jones here. And he says, just saying quickly, I'm very happy that we're able to bring in a new offensive coordinator to help develop our young quarterback, Mac Jones. He also talks about Mac here. Let me just find it. He also talks about, we are blessed to have, blessed. We're hashtag blessed to have a great young quarterback, and Mac Jones is our quarterback. And I'm a strong believer in him and his development, Kraft said to Fox Business. So that tells me, compare and contrast that to Bill at the end.
Such a good point. He can play
back in this league.
Yeah, crazy.
Ownership obviously is buying into Mac Jones and thinks he's the guy and he can be maximized. And they think Bill O'Brien's the guy to do that. And so he was their choice.
Let me ask this question. Coming into this year, obviously third year for Mac Jones, you have the new offensive coordinator. So everyone's kind of looking at Mac Jones and saying, all right, this is the year. And it certainly is, right? Obviously, you know, you're going to have to make a decision here long term, whether or not you want to pay this guy. And he's going to be the face of your franchise moving forward.
Fast.
He's not going to have, kind of the safety blanket for when things don't go well to say Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. I'm not sure if it's even a safety blanket necessarily, as it is, you know, it truly was not a functional relationship. But how pivotal a year is this for Bill Belichick coming into this season as well? Like, now that you have Bill O'Brien, you have the Krafts coming in, like you said, obviously making a decision about the coaching staff all of a sudden. How big do you think this also is for Bill Belichick coming into this upcoming season?
I mean, I think it's very big, and I think it'd be really interesting. I think Bill has a little skin in the game in tomorrow's game, too. Because you look at what Andy Reid and the Chiefs are doing, they're not going to win 6 Super Bowls. I'm sorry, they're not. Like, that's not going to happen. But what they are showing is that competing year in and year out for a Super Bowl is not maybe as mystifying or mystical or as amazing as Bill made it look or people thought Bill was making it look. It's kind of like, hey, add the greatest quarterback of the generation, and if you're a halfway decent coach, you'll have a chance to be in the Super Bowl every year, and you'll be in the Final Four every year. Kansas City's gone to 5 straight AFC championship games. This is their third Super Bowl in, 4 years? And if they win this one, and it's 2 in 3 years, and the only loss is to Tom Brady, I mean, that kind of, you look at it and you say, geez, maybe what we were led to believe in terms of how just incredible Belichick was as being a difference maker. He's still the best coach. He's a great coach. But just the idea that he was this ultimate difference maker, maybe that's not the case.
Yeah, like you said, 5 straight AFC championship games for the Chiefs. You kind of look at it, too, and it's a similar situation to what you've seen in the Patriots in the past, where you peel off a big name and still it doesn't really affect the end result here with Tyreek Hill getting traded away this offseason, and they have a phenomenal record or the 1 seed, and now they're back in the Super Bowl. I'm kind of with you on that. And look, I'm with you. I think the thing that kind of separates the Patriots dynasty from a lot of others is the fact that they were able to turn that thing over completely a couple of different times, right? And so obviously the quarterback and the coach stay the same, but the fact that you go from, you know, that dynasty from 01 to 04 to what it looked like in 07, and then all of a sudden 10 years after your third Super Bowl, you've got this new wave of Gronk, Edelman, and all those guys kind of waving. Like, that's going to be hard to replicate, obviously, if you're the Chiefs, but I'm with you. Like, you know, you look at Kansas City, if they walk away here with 5 straight AFC championship games, 2 Super Bowls, and the 1 loss is to Brady, that's a pretty impressive resume right off the jump. That's not too shabby. Yeah.
I mean, it's so, and it's not just that, also throw in what the Patriots have been the last 3 years post Brady, which is 25-26, including the playoff loss, had 2 losing seasons in 3 seasons, no playoff wins with the same legendary Hall of Fame coach. And you look at it and you say, okay, a lot of this mystique and aura that was built up, was it really the case? Like, did it really impact things? Did it really matter? Or was it just that the tipping point of being a title contender every year was the quarterback play that you were getting?
All right, so 3 middling seasons following the Brady departure.
Yeah.
Brady retires this offseason. And now it feels like there's been kind of a full court press. And maybe they've pulled back a little bit here. And we'll get into some of the comments from Robert Kraft yesterday as well, for the one-day retirement with Brady. And I wonder how connected that is to some of the on-field results the Patriots have had over these last 3 seasons as well. We'll get into that on the other side. It's Gasper and Murray, Tim McCone in for Murray, 617-779-0985. Your Patriots thoughts after this.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150. Win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
This is 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
And this is Gasper and Murray.
It was funny, you know, I was out at the East-West game last weekend, and of course, you know, Tom's picture is up there everywhere as a player in the game, and you know, along with a lot of other Hall of Famers. I think they had like 70 Hall of Famers played in that game or something like that. But anyway, you know, that's kind of where it all started, you know, Michigan, the Orange Bowl, the East-West game, and you know, just the greatest player, the greatest career, the great, great person. It's such an opportunity and an honor for me to, you know, to coach Tom. And I guess it's got in at some point, you know, but it's the greatest one ever. So congratulations, Tom.
Appreciate it.
Chris, that was a collaboration at the beginning of the week that I, quite frankly, was not expecting to see drop there. How surprised were you that Belichick was joining Brady on that podcast?
You know, I didn't know it was going to happen, but I'm not that surprised.
Really?
Their relationship is good now. I mean, as good as it was. And you could tell just listening to them talk. Now, I thought there was some revisionist history there, like, you know, Tom, like, oh, we always had a good relationship, and like it was everybody else trying to pull us apart, like blah blah. I'm like, come on, Tom, you know, you're pouring it on a little thick, you know. It wasn't, and if you're gonna say it was everybody else, why don't you include your ex-wife in there as well? It wasn't just the media. So but when that is all said and done, and when you look at it, that's why I felt like they didn't need to do the one-day contract thing, and they still don't. Tom Brady goes to Robert Kraft's wedding, right, and misses a walkthrough this season for Tampa to do it. He is already reconciled with Belichick. They were on good terms. And I wrote that – my column went up the day that they did that podcast. Now, did I know they were doing that podcast? No, but they were on good terms. So it's not like he needs to sort of reconcile with Bill. And you heard that in the podcast. So I just feel like there's not really a need for this one-day contract thing. I think it's just sort of symbolic, and it's just kind of trying to rewrite history so the Crafts can be like, hey, Brady finished his career a Patriot, which we all know that didn't happen.
No, and I'm with you. I thought it was such a good column because it's kind of beneath what Brady, like what everything that happened to Brady and the way that he was treated here, like you said, revisionist history is the perfect way to put it. Like the reality of the situation is he wanted to be here long term. You guys clearly weren't ready to make that commitment. And so now to come back after you weren't willing to do that, to say, yeah, I'm with you. I think that's kind of beneath Brady. I really do.
Yeah. And like Peyton Manning didn't do it. In fact, he expressly rejected it. From the Colts.
Is that true, really?
Yes, he rejected it. He said, I'm going to retire a Bronco. But he has a great relationship with the Colts now in Ursay. So it's like you don't need – it's not necessary. It's just window dressing. Montana didn't do it. Montana didn't do it either. Manning didn't do it. And there's another – Brett Favre didn't do it. So why would Brady do it?
No, I just I'm with you. I think it's beneath him. I also think it's kind of a situation where I look at it and – kind of the pressure and everything that the Patriots gone in. And obviously they would recognize Brady once he retired. I understand that.
Yeah, he's coming back here.
But I also think a lot of this is the state of the Patriots right now, right? And the fact that I think it's been a relatively disappointing stretch since Brady left and walked out the door. I clearly, I don't think Robert Kraft expected this. Obviously, I think Belichick thought it was probably going to go a little bit smoother. And the reality of the situation is, since he's walked out the door, it hasn't been the same. And I think some of this is like, if they were going back to the AFC Championship game time and time again, I think they recognize him. But I don't think there's this kind of pressure to have him come back and sign this one-day contract and all the pomp and circumstance. I think both kind of move on, bury the hatchet, and it is what it is. But when you don't really have a lot going on in a positive way for your franchise, I think this type of stuff means a little bit more.
That's a great point, McCone, and I hadn't thought of it in those terms. I mean, essentially, from a business standpoint, it's really smart business, I think, for the Krafts and Robert Kraft. What, you don't have much to sell right now other than, hey, we got Bill O'Brien. So what are you going to sell? Nostalgia. You're going to sell nostalgia. You're going to say, hey, we were the owners when we had this guy, and we still have the same coach when we had this guy. Remember how good we were when we had this guy? Oh, this guy's signing a one-day. Remember that? And by the way, we're still here, coach and ownership. And so we think eventually we can get back to that. Just remember how well we did with this guy? Like, that's kind of what it is.
It's living in the past when the hope was when you moved on from him, right, was that you were going to continue your dominance into the future. And it hasn't obviously worked out that way. I think this whole thing by the Patriots, and you look back on it, and letting Tom Brady walk out the door, and we've talked about it time and time again, is I think one of the biggest mistakes of a franchise. It's why I truly think too, and I know that Aaron Rodgers is a completely different sideshow in and of itself.
Yeah.
If I'm a franchise and I have one of those guys, man, and I get it, and you don't want your franchise to kind of be held hostage by a player, I also think you should be really, really careful what you wish for, because from a Packers perspective, what happened last time, like Favre to Rodgers, that doesn't happen, right? Like,
it's rare. Montana left, Steve Young was there, you knew he could play. It's pretty rare. I mean, I think Bill thought he had it lined up with Garoppolo, and Tom just sort of outlived that.
But
the Packers might think they have it lined up with Jordan Love. The problem for the Patriots, just to bring it back to the Patriots, is that when they did it, they had no backup plan. Like, right. It was like, Jared Stidham's going to be our quarterback. Remember that?
Yes.
Remember all the Jared Stidham talk?
Yeah.
They had that? Well, you know, we're fine if Jared Stidham's the guy. And then they end up bringing in, they had no plan. So I can see letting some of those, you know, to me, Brady's a different animal because he's the greatest of all time. He's way more of a winner than Rodgers. But some of these guys, you decide you're done with the sideshow, time to move on. You want to see if your other guy can play. Like, I get it. Favre, Rodgers, those guys were pains in the ass. And they only had won one Super Bowl. But with Brady, it's like, if you're going to move on from him, you better make damn sure that you have a viable option. And they didn't.
No, they did not. All right, 617-779-0985. Our guy Tommy Lynn wants to talk Brady. What's up, Tommy?
What's up, guys? I want to talk about Brady because all this stuff should have happened a couple of years ago. They should have signed them, and then they would have never had this stuff going on right now. But you think he signs this one-day contract, Gaspar? Because you're a big Brady bobo, just like I am. You think he signs it? Yeah.
I don't. I mean, and I don't know if it's a – I mean, he filed his retirement papers. So
yeah.
Isn't that it? Like, I mean, I guess ceremonially he could do it, but now that he filed his retirement papers.
Well, and there's cap ramifications for the Bucks moving forward as well. So you're kind of doing the Bucks dirty for a one-day ceremonial contract if that's – and now maybe you can talk to the league and all that stuff, but in terms of like the dead cap, they're eating this whole number this year to help move on. If he comes back, then I think it gets spread out to two separate years, which you're kind of screwing the Bucks organization for this one-day contract if that is the case.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, I know the Bucks right now, my understanding of the retirement thing is they're getting screwed on this anyway. because he retired,
yeah.
It was a void year. So right now, everything goes straight to the cap at $35 million. But just on the one-day thing, I thought Kraft backed off this a little bit on Fox Business. Here's what he said. I think I had been doing an interview and somebody asked me whether I'd be willing to give Tom Brady a one-day contract. I don't think that's what happened, by the way. I think he was asked a general question on CNN about Brady and then brought up the one-day.
Yes, 100%, by the way, yeah.
And he said, so anyways, he says, I think I'd been doing an interview and someone asked me whether I'd be willing to give Brady a one-day contract with the Patriots. And I said, absolutely, Kraft said. And of course, it's whatever Tommy wants. But in the end, we hope to have him back for many years in the future. I know all of our fans want to thank him and celebrate the greatness that he brought to our franchise for two decades, and we want to do it in a respectful way. So that seems like he's throttling back just a little bit. And he also mentioned in this interview that he had been in touch with Brady in person this week. So I have a feeling this might have come up, and Tom was like, hey, I really appreciate it. You know, it's a great opportunity, but – you know, it's kind of the equivalent. You and I have both been through this, McCone. It's like, you know, you ask somebody out. It's like, oh, yeah, I, you know, sounds really great. But, you know, I got to wash my hair on Friday night. That was kind of like Brady. Like, oh, sorry, Robert. You know, I got to wash my hair. I can't reach you for this one day contract.
Yeah, maybe in a few weeks or whatever. And then all of a sudden, that blue bubble turns green. And you're like, what's up with that? I don't know. What, did it just block me? Yeah.
Well, you're getting really personal now, McCone.
Let's go talk to Chris in Boston. Chris, what's up?
What's up, guys? Hey. So I want to touch on three things. The Patriots, the Super Bowl, and the season itself, with the common thread of nepotism. And to start, you know, yesterday the guys, the 2-6 guys, were asking why do people dislike the Chiefs and ask for me anyway. And now, listen, I'm moved from Philadelphia 16 years ago, and I, you know, I'm adopted Patriots, but still Eagles through and through. And the reason why I don't like the Chiefs, and I think it's an under talked about thing, is the nepotism element, and the fact that a couple of years ago, of course, Britt Reid tragically, you know, hurt through, and like I just he should have never had that job to begin with, and I don't hold Andy Reid responsible for having on his son, but I just think it's an under talked about thing about Andy Reid, and maybe it's a little ghoulish, but I think it's a legitimate reason, and that ties in to me with the season. And I just, my overall commentary with the season when Jeff Saturday was hired and all of these legacy coaches were bitching and complaining about Jeff Saturday. And these are the same coaches that hire all their kids, and which it's just disgusting to me that like they're busting balls of Jeff Saturday. But then that leads me to the Patriots. And of all of the explanations for why did Bill Belichick, you know, keep on Matt Patricia and Joe Judge? Why did they continually to try to fit in a square peg in a round hole? At least one factor of it has got to be the fact that he had his son on staff as the defensive guy. He had Gerard Mayo, an incredibly talented defensive coach, on staff. So, like, he can't push out certain guys, and he's not going to push out his kid, which was one of the factors that led to an incredibly bad decision. I just think nepotism is an under-talked about thing around here and in general for the NFL. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And I think Patricia, in a lot of ways, is like a son to Belichick, so that sort of ties into it. But I'll just say this. You know, Kyle Shanahan's a really good coach, and he's the son of Mike Shanahan. Bill Belichick's a coach's son. He's really good. And to be honest, Steve Belichick is a good coach.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had players tell me that. It's not like he doesn't know what he's doing. So I understand what you're saying, and overall, I do think nepotism is an issue in the NFL, particularly with a lot of these hires, but I don't blame Steve Belichick for Bill Belichick's ridiculous decision of going with Patricia and Judge as the offensive coaches. And I don't know if you saw, did you see the stuff that Malcolm Butler had to say on this station about what he saw with Matt Patricia, as basically saying the plays were predictable, defensive guys in training camp were calling them out, they knew what was going to come, that Matty P's coaching style really, in terms of trying to motivate the offensive players, maybe the rah-rah stuff or the in-your-face stuff that worked with defensive guys didn't work with the offense. It was a terrible fit from the jump. It's an awful decision. And you know what my question would be to Robert Kraft, and we haven't heard from him. I know he met with some of the reporters yesterday in a largely off-the-record session in Arizona. But my question to him would be, what steps have you taken to ensure that this type of foolhardy decision isn't made again? Not specific to the offensive coaching staff, just this type of unilateral decision where everybody in the world other than Bill knows this is a bad idea or thinks this is a bad idea, but he still gets to execute it. What steps have been taken and guardrails have been installed to make sure this doesn't happen with another decision in the organization?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, you go back throughout like the history of this like 20 years with Belichick, and there have been plenty of decisions where I think people have questioned it, whether it's like Lawyer Malloy. Yeah. Go back down the list. But you're right. I think at this point and following that decision, absolutely there need to be guardrails in place. The nepotism thing, obviously, that's an issue, no question about it. But I'm with you. Like, the defense and Steve Belichick has not been the issue
for
the Patriots over the last few years. I don't think Reed, and the reason that people around here don't like the Chiefs, quite frankly, is kind of what we touched on in the first segment. I think it's a threat to what you perceive as the best dynasty ever, right? That's really what it comes down to around here.
So saying, and again, obviously horrible.
I'm not trying to minimize that,
killing a child, that's an awful situation. There's no question about it. And it was Britt Reid, right?
Yeah.
It was certainly culpable there. But that's like people saying when the Patriots won their last three Super Bowls, oh, I like the Patriots, not because they're winners. Because remember, everybody around here, remember, you know, they hate us because they ain't us. They hate us because we win. Well, that would be like, no, we don't hate you because you've won six Super Bowls. We hate you because you're the franchise that had Aaron Hernandez.
Right.
And I didn't hear that a lot. I didn't hear anybody around here saying that's why the rest of the league and these other fans don't like us. And I didn't hear any other fans anywhere else saying like, oh, well, that's why I don't like the Patriots. It's not that I don't like Brady and Belichick. It's not that I dislike the fact they've gone to eight straight AFC title games and they've been to nine Super Bowls. So it's no, you had Aaron Hernandez. I never heard that.
Yeah, I don't
buy that for the Chiefs.
No, I don't either. And part of me also thinks that might have been Jeff Saturday on the phone too, because the throwing the Jeff Saturday stuff, I was like, I don't know if there are a lot of Jeff Saturday backers. Yeah, we'll see. Let's sneak in a couple more phone calls here. Let's go to Frank in the car. Frank, what's up?
Hey, you guys were talking about what the Patriots not having a backup plan. Bill Belichick's backup plan was his own arrogance because he had the system, right? Yeah. And anybody was supposed to, he was supposed to be able to just plug any player into that system and win. He didn't give enough recognition or enough credit or to the fact that Brady was the greatest quarterback, and he thought he could just take Stidham and shove him into the, into the system, and it was going to work. And the other thing, the other big sort of instance where that another example of that is, and you guys just mentioned it, Malcolm Butler on the phone the other day. We still don't know why Malcolm Butler was not put in the Super Bowl against the Philadelphia Eagles, right? Put Butler in one, just stop one drive, guys, one drive, Bill, and then, we could win that game. I think it's Bill's arrogance getting in his way. That's my point.
Yeah, no, I mean, you could talk about, hubris there. It's so funny you mentioned that Super Bowl. McCone, I don't know if you've gone back and watched that Super Bowl at all. I've gone back and watched it a little this week because I think Philadelphia's formula for winning this one against Mahomes is pretty similar. They really dominated up front on both sides of the ball in that game, even though the Patriots, didn't even punt in that game.
Yeah, Brady throws for over 500 yards. Yeah,
he set a Super Bowl record, but their offensive line was immense and all that other stuff. But, I was going back and watching part of that game, and it occurred to me as I'm watching it, I watched the touchdown drive for Philadelphia, the go-ahead touchdown drive, and the Patriots, burned a timeout there before a third down because they didn't like the look. And then on the third down, Philadelphia ran basically the same play and picked up a first down with a throw to Zach Ertz. They burned a timeout that they didn't have at the end when Brady had the ball. And there was another play on that drive that wasn't right. And so my point is, there's a thought process that was expressed, I think, by, was it Brandon Lang's expressed it? Basically saying the difference for the Patriots is they get to these Super Bowls and they win them all because of Belichick. I don't think that's necessarily true. And I felt for a while that the extra week of preparation actually levels the playing field in terms of the advantage of having Belichick in the Super Bowl, because it gives the other teams
more opportunity
extra week. They can take sort of a Belichickian look at the Patriots and dissect them. Like, Bill could get that all done in a week. It would take a normal staff 2 weeks, but that normal staff now has 2 weeks.
They can catch up, yeah.
So you look at some of these games, like Super Bowl 42, I think they were outcoached. Super Bowl 46, I also think they were outcoached. The Super Bowl, they beat the Falcons 28-3. I thought for most of that, they were outcoached. The Super Bowl they lost to Philadelphia, 52. I thought they were outcoached in that one.
It's really the two bookends that you to look at and say, yeah. Belichick had a huge part of that, right?
Yeah. If it's a game against the Rams in the Super Bowl,
you're feeling good.
He's going to outcoach you. Otherwise, I don't know.
All right, 617-779-0985, the telephone number. See you guys lined up. We'll get to your phone calls on the other side. Plus, Chris just mentioned it too, but I want to get his thoughts on the game tomorrow as well. That's next on 98.5 The Sports Zone.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
This is Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
And this is Gasper and Murray on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Tim McCone, Chris Gasp with you on this Saturday morning, 617-779-0985. I see you guys lined up. Mike in the car has been on hold the least amount of time here, Chris. Now, normally we would go for longest duration, but the comment line says Isaiah Wynn, and I would love to know how we're gonna land this plane with Isaiah Wynn. So okay. We're going to skip Let's Mike to the front. Mike, what's up?
Sounds good.
Hi, guys. First off, best of tie in on a speedy recovery. So Isaiah Wynn does grade out as being in the top percent of run blocking tackles, right? Nothing leads me to believe that the Patriots are going to spend a high draft pick on a tackle and have to pay him in a couple of years. So, Chris, what are your thoughts on bringing him back in a different role? Because when they do use the three tackle formation, yeah, they were solid in the run game.
I just don't think he's going to want to come back here. He was sort of a sour camper throughout much of the year.
Yeah.
I think he wants to be back on the left side. I think he resented in a contract year being removed from the left side. Those are the guys who get paid the most. I don't see him coming back unless there's just absolutely no market for him.
No, look, you go back to that draft, Isaiah Wynn, Sony Michel, those two first round picks. You know, the Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower thing was such a slam dunk back in the day, and that one just did not pan out.
I have to be honest, though. I mean, you know, we're obviously wrong all the time. I liked that draft. I thought they should have gone wide receiver instead of Wynn, but I love the Sony Michel pick. I believe that was the Calvin Ridley draft.
It was.
And so I thought they should have gone for Calvin Ridley somewhere in there, but I liked the Sony Michel pick. I was a big backer of the Sony Michel pick, and I was wrong. And I'll tell you this, people in the league were surprised. They thought if ever the Patriots were going to use a first-round pick on a wide receiver, it was going to be Ridley, just coming from Alabama and that whole thing. So I wonder what intel, if any, Belichick got
had
from
on
Saban
Ridley.
That maybe, I don't know, maybe Saban knew Ridley liked to, you know, play fantasy football / gamble before anybody else. I don't know. I don't know what the deal was. Or maybe, and this is a serious part of it, you know, Calvin Ridley, like a lot of athletes, have been more, I think, upfront about some of their mental health challenges.
For sure.
Maybe that was something that Saban shared with Belichick and said, hey, you know, your environment might not be the right environment for him. But people in the league were kind of – multiple people I took to the league were kind of surprised. They were like, wow.
That did not go the direction.
Calvin Ridley would have seemed like a slam dunk for the Patriots.
It's interesting. Sony Michel, by the way, just never looked as explosive in New England or in his pro career as what he did in Georgia.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
He's such a fun player in college, and it never translated.
They drafted the wrong Georgia back.
Yeah, whoops. That was a swing and a miss.
But
huh?
I was wrong. I mean, I thought Michelle was going
to
be great.
All right, let's go to Mike in Jersey City. Mike, what's up?
Hey, I just want to push back on a few callers ago about like the nepotism thing in the NFL. And I believe it's alive and well, but in comparison to the Mike and Kyle Shanahan thing, you know, I believe there was an article a couple of years ago where either Mike or Kyle, Mike said that I'm not going to hire my son until he's accomplished, or Kyle said he's not going to work for his father until he has accomplished certain things. And I just think that's like a bad comparison to make as far as nepotism goes in the NFL.
Oh, well, I can tell you why it's not, because Kyle Shanahan's first coaching job was in Houston with Gary Kubiak, who's really, really close with Mike Shanahan. So, yes, Mike Shanahan said the first job of my kid isn't going to be with me. It's just going to be with one of my best friends. And so he ended up getting a job that I'm not sure other people would have gotten. So Shanahan's a good coach. Kyle, I mean, both of them were good coaches. Yeah. And I think eventually over time you prove that you're a good coach. But it doesn't, the nepotism part of it isn't just, hey, I'm taking my kid and putting him on my staff. It's I'm asking my coaching buddies and my other people to get my kid a job in the NFL.
Yeah, it's the opportunity itself.
That's exactly, by the way, how Bill Belichick got into the league.
Well, you go through it.
His dad asked Ted Marchibroda to give him a job in Baltimore. And Belichick's the greatest coach of all time. So it's like, I'm not saying it's all bad, but that is how it works.
Yeah. Sean McVay, all of those. You go down the list of those coaches and the connections that they had, no question about it. Do you think for Steve to actually be considered a head coaching candidate, he has to actually move on from New England before that happens?
That's a great question. I would say yes, but not because he's Bill Belichick's son, but because I think that's true of a lot of these guys. A lot of these guys that people have hired from New England outside of Belichick's bosom have not succeeded. And I think people around the league take notice of that. Now, how much of that is they haven't had the caliber of quarterback that Bill had? Because Bill O'Brien did a pretty good job in Houston, particularly when he got to Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
So how much of that is just they haven't been in good situations? And how much of that is this is one of the things I said this year about Bill, and I mean this really as a positive. I think he has a blind spot when he says a good coach is a good coach. He doesn't realize just how unique he is. That's kind of like saying, like, oh, a good quarterback is a good quarterback. And it's like, no, some of them are Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Patrick Mahomes, right? I mean, Matthew Stafford's good. He's not Tom Brady.
Right.
And so Bill's ability to be able to coach all sides of the ball and adapt to anything, that's pretty rare in a coach. And I think he doesn't realize, he just thinks like, well, I can do it, so these other guys can do it. And it's like, no, they can't. That's why you're you. That's why you're special.
I mean, you can take a step further. His ability, and I know that we've crushed him at times for his job in the front office, but you look at what the disasters have been in other situations where coaches have gotten that power, that generally does not work. It's usually an absolute train wreck, and really across all sports, because you can throw the NBA in the mix too with some of the decisions that they make. So his ability to do that as well, like you said, that is rare, rare stuff. It is.
It is. I mean, I think sometimes he doesn't give himself enough credit. It's kind of like we've talked about this, McCone, the great NBA player who becomes a coach, you know, like Magic Johnson, and is like, well, I don't get it.
Yeah, why can't you just do this?
Yeah, why can't you just see, why can't you just think three steps ahead to that no-look pass like I would? And it's like, no, like not everybody's brain works like that. That's why you're special.
All right, 617-779-0985. Let's sneak in Oscar in New Hampshire. What's up, Oscar?
How you doing, guys? I just wanted to point out what the obvious denominator is in all these questions about why Belichick has done this, that, and the other thing. And it's money. I mean, this is the best thing for the team isn't always getting the best player. Sometimes it's meeting the bottom line. And the other thing you got to think about is back in 2015, Kraft bought out Hines. It's now called Kraft Hines. And, you know, that costs money. I just wanted to say that. That's all.
Yeah, I don't think that's the Kraft. That's like, no. That's like, isn't that like Kraft, like, you know, the single cheese slice Kraft?
Yeah,
which is
I think
not
those are
our
two different
Kraft,
things.
Which
yeah.
is they're international paper, so that's I think that's a little different.
No. All right. 617-779-0985. We're just going to transition off of that in an unsmooth way, which is usually my fashion. And when we come back, I'll get Chris's thoughts on the Super Bowl and the big game tomorrow.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Chris Casper. Big Jim Murray.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Casper and Murray on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Tim McCone, Chris Gasper here with you. Chris, a few minutes left before we transition over to the Celtics. Also want to get your thoughts on the deadline and everything that went on in Brooklyn as well, because, man, that did not go as planned for the Nets, huh?
No, definitely not. I mean, talk about a contender that never was. What a disaster. So I can't wait to get to the Celtics. We actually have the game on here, and I'll be honest, I tuned out the game at the end because I knew the Celtics were going to win, and now I'm watching it and seeing how Jason Tatum got to 41 points, and I want to throw up in my mouth.
Yeah, it's not great, right? Like, I mean, he shouldn't have had to come.
Like a great game. Yes. I mean, he didn't need, but like, he's in there shooting free throws with 30.7 seconds left, and he was in there with 40 seconds left. And I know the game got sort of close towards the end. You know, it was like a 10-12 point game, but I didn't realize. I thought I'd sort of just tuned out the game after I was like, oh, the Celtics are going to win. I thought he had just scored the 41 and come out with like 3 minutes to go.
No, so I was doing halftime and post game for this one last night. And to your point, too, Celtics go up 28 in this game. And then Charlotte goes on a 15-0 run.
Yeah.
And they have to bring Tatum back in.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, which was legit.
You know, a couple hours before this game, Brad Stevens is meeting with the media talking about how we really kind of want to monitor Tatum's minutes when you look at the minutes played that he's had so far this year. And then, you know, I'll connect these dots too, but you go back to him kind of running out of gas a little bit in the finals. Like, yes, it's nice that you have a superstar that actually wants to play all these minutes. But in a game like this, you hope that he doesn't have to play 37 minutes. But the fact is, you had to bring him back in to secure this win, which was a frustrating thing to go on there too.
But I think just quickly, and we'll get to it in the next hour, but I mean, I think instead of 37, it could have been 35.
Yep.
Like, it's not a coincidence that I'm just watching this now. Like, they sub in Hauser with 27 seconds to go after he got his 40 points. This is the thing about the season that's just driven me nuts, but we'll talk about it in a few minutes.
All right, yeah, we do have a few minutes left, so I did want to actually get your thoughts on the Super Bowl, the matchup between the Eagles and the Chiefs. What do you kind of see in this game?
I think this game, for all the talk about the skill position players, certainly Patrick Mahomes is the headliner there and what he's chasing. But also, you look at Jalen Hurts, who's a guy who was an MVP candidate, has had a tremendous year. The weapons Philadelphia has, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Travis Kelce on Kansas City. For all that stuff, I think we're looking in the wrong place. It's going to come down to the trenches. Offensive, defensive line. The Eagles led the NFL in sacks this year with 70. That's the third most in a single season since it became a recognized stat in 1982. If you go on ESPN and you look at what they have, this blocking index that they use all the time, pass block or run block win rate, if you go and look at that, the Chiefs were the best offensive line in the NFL in pass block win rate. So I think it's going to come down to, can the Chiefs buy enough time for Patrick Mahomes to make plays? And defensively, can the Chiefs create enough time with Mahomes on the field for him to make plays? Because the Eagles' offensive line is outstanding. And they're great at run blocking. They're great at pass blocking. Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce are the holdovers from when they beat the Patriots. And I think you're going to see sort of a similar formula, which was the formula for the Eagles the last time they had to face a great quarterback in a Super Bowl. And there was a little bit of a quarterback gap. And that was to win the game up front. You go back to that Super Bowl 52, McCone. The Eagles in that game averaged 6.1 yards per carry. They were 12 of 18 combined on third and fourth downs. they just dominated the game. And I actually thought that the Eagles offensive line should have been collectively named Super Bowl MVP. So I think it really comes down to the trenches. Can Kansas City's defense stop the Eagles from running, from doing what they do in the run game? Can Kansas City's offensive line stop the Eagles' defensive line from doing what they do defensively? They're the number one pass defense in the NFL. They're the first team in NFL history to have four guys with 10 or more sacks. So it's really about the big uglies up front, I think, in this one.
I can't wait, just from a legacy perspective, by the way, to kind of see this outcome when you look at Patrick Mahomes as well. And to me, look, I'm not saying that if he loses this game, you're suddenly going to look at Patrick Mahomes and say, oh, this guy sucks, he's an overrated.
Yep.
But I think it's kind of a similar situation to what Brady had going into that Seahawks Super Bowl,
yeah,
where, you know, you're 3-2 in Super Bowls going into that one. If you lose that game, you're 3-3. And yes, you're a three-time Super Bowl winner, but I think you're viewed a little bit differently than being 4-2.
Totally.
And so when you look at Mahomes, if you walk away from this, five straight AFC championship games, like you said in the first segment, two Super Bowl wins, and your one loss, by the way, is to the greatest of all time.
In his stadium.
A great point, too. That's a lot different than walking away saying, all right, 1-2. It's going to be interesting to see which way this one goes, because I do think from a legacy perspective, there's a little bit something on here when it comes to Patrick Mahomes.
I think it depends on the way he plays. You know, if he has a game, let's say, again, just to go back to the blueprint, Super Bowl 52, I agree with what you're saying, but what if he has, I think there's a little nuance. What if he has a game like Brady did? What if he throws for like 400 and something yards, his team puts 30 points on the board? Let's say they put 31 on the board, but they lose like 35-31 because
they just can't get the Eagles off the field.
They can't get the Eagles off the field, and the RPOs are too much for a young secondary. And time of possession in Super Bowl 52, the Eagles won the time of possession by almost 9 minutes. And their touchdown drive, the go ahead drive at the end there was like it was 14 plays, 75 yards, and they took seven. I'm sorry, they took 7 minutes off the clock there on that drive. So it's just like one of those things where you look at it and you're like, oh, you know, if it's one of those things that sets up the same way it did for Brady, and Brady did get the ball back. I mean, he got the ball back twice. It was a strip sack and all that. But if it sets up sort of that same way, I'm not sure people will penalize Mahomes quite as much as if they get like blown out or he doesn't play well, or it's something where they just get, it's not even a close game. Because I do think Philadelphia is a better team overall. I think the only way Kansas City wins this game is if Mahomes has a great game.
Just certainly possible. But yeah, it's going to be certainly an interesting matchup between those two teams. We'll break that down coming up a little bit later on. But right now I'm going to switch gears, talk some Celtics. Mike Muscala making his debut. The buzz in the garden for that one last night against the Hornets was, you could feel it across the city, no question about it.
Well, so, now I want to hear him rap.
90 seconds will get you caught up on how deadlines, and we'll talk some Celtics and some trade deadline next.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.